agreed, babies went into and out of their mother's stomachs via their belly buttons. Christopher was aware of Dilys's innocence, and had always controlled the passionate love he felt for her. Now the prospect of their imminent parting became unbearable. Alone in the field with the remains of their picnic lunch scattered around them, not only he but Dilys too was unable to think of anything but the agony of parting, of the prospect of not being able to see each other every day as happened now. Each morning when she ran downstairs to the hallway of the pension, she knew Christopher would be waiting for her outside the big house belonging to Professor von Zwill and his wife, who provided care, lodging and tutorials for them. "I love you, Chris," she now told him between his desperate kisses. His hands tightened round her, and he pressed his body closer still to hers. There was no sign of any other people in the deserted spot Christopher had chosen for their picnic, and Dilys now made no objection when he lifted her blouse and, bending his head, kissed her breasts. Unashamedly, she pressed herself even closer against him.
"Christopher, I want you to do it. I want you to make love to me. I want to belong to you in every possible way. Please, I know we shouldn't, but if I do have to go home, at least I shall feel that we really do belong to each other."
She broke off as she saw the hesitation in his eyes. He knew she was innocent and that there could be risks, but he would be careful. He too wanted to cement their relationship, to make her his own. He could feel her heart beating fiercely against his chest, and with all the restraint gone, he quickly undressed her, his hands moving from her breasts down to her hips. It was Dilys who now struggled out of her skirt and helped him to remove her cotton knickers. Instinctively, her legs parted. Christopher had quickly pulled off his shorts, and within seconds he was lying between her legs, his voice husky with desire, as he kissed her gently and whispered, "I shall try not to hurt you." Dilys was unsure what he meant, but whatever it was, she didn't care. Uncertain though she was as to what would now happen, she never wavered in her decision to let him make love to her. Christopher was as gentle as he could be, doing his utmost to curb the fierceness of his desire as he eased his way into her. She gave a small cry as he overcame her virginity, and then, unable to control himself any longer, he allowed himself to move passionately inside her. Despite the moment of pain and the strangeness of what had just happened, Dilys felt a great surge of joy at this astonishing but wonderful union of their bodies, and reaching up, she pulled his head down to her and kissed him again, this time with a rush of tenderness. Christopher's arm tightened around her. Very gently he stroked the shining waves of hair he called the colour of burnished bronze from her forehead and said,
"You are so beautiful. I love you. I'll always love you."
For several minutes they lay entwined, and then Christopher slowly eased himself into a sitting position. The hot sun of the late afternoon was burning down upon them, and both were damp with perspiration. A smile crossed his face as he shrugged off his shirt and said,
"I know, Dil. We'll cool off. Have a swim in the lake. There's no one around to see us."
Returning his smile, Dilys stood up and shyly allowed him to take her hand. Together, they ran down the glassy slope into the cold waters of the lake. It was too cold to stay there for long, but refreshed, they ran hand in hand back to their picnic place, pulled on their clothes, and sat with their arms around each other. There was a moment when Dilys knew that as yet in her life she had never felt happier than she did at this moment. Almost reading her thoughts, Christopher said,
"I'll never forget this day, the day I made you mine."
Momentarily, the cloud crossed the sun, and as the shadow fell across them, Dilys was unhappily reminded of the time.
"It's nearly 6 o'clock, Christopher. We'll have to go back. I'll need to change for supper, and one of the few times the professor is cross with us is if we're late for Abendessen."
Aware they would not be seeing each other again until the following afternoon,